Moroni chapter 6, verse 1. And now I speak concerning baptism. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized. They were not baptized, save they brought forth fruit, meat, that they were worthy of it. The word meat in this verse means suitable, fitting, or proper. The fruits for baptism are faith on Jesus Christ, a recognition of one's total and complete dependence upon the mercies and merits of the Savior, remaining in a state of gratitude always, a desire to obey and serve the Lord at all costs, and a deep yearning to repent of one's sins. These are the fruits which are suitable, fitting, proper, and necessary before and after the ordinance of baptism is complete. Verse 2, neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they had truly repented of all their sins. 3, and none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end. And that end is the completion of the probationary second estate experience. Verse 4, and after they had been received unto baptism, they were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost. This word wrought is an interesting word to be used in conjunction with the power of the Holy Ghost. It means to be influenced or prevailed on, guided or managed, formed and fitted, and I like this definition, actuated, to be put into action. The word wrought also indicates stiff resistance and a hard labor involved in the process. Wrought is also used in conjunction with cleansed, to put off the natural man and become a saint through the atonement of the Lord, to be completely changed from our lost and fallen state. Becoming a new creature in Christ would certainly require being wrought upon. Back to verse 4, after this cleansing by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ, and their names were taken. So there was a church record, a membership record taken of those men and women who were baptized unto repentance in the name of Jesus Christ. Now there's two reasons why their names were taken that's mentioned in verse 4 of chapter 6. Number one, that they might be remembered. The opposite of remembered is forgotten. They might not be forgotten, fall between the cracks, or linger or languish in an inactive state. See, a person can lose this wrought upon and cleansed condition by the Holy Ghost by being complacent and casual in what you do with what you receive from the Lord. Along with this remembering, the second thing was, and nourished by the good word of God. In a general conference talk given February 1999 by President Gordon B. Hinckley, entitled, Every Convert is Precious, President Hinckley said the following, It is not an easy thing to become a member of this church. In most cases, it involves setting aside old habits, leaving old friends and associations, and stepping into a new society which is different and somewhat demanding. With the ever-increasing number of converts, we must make an increasingly substantial effort to assist them as they find their way. This part right here. Every one of them needs three things. A friend, a responsibility, and nurturing with the good word of God. It is our duty and opportunity to provide these things. Unquote. As Margie and I traveled throughout the world on missions for the church, we were surprised and alarmed at the percentages of church activity in the countries where we served. In too many instances, people were being baptized and brought into the church, only to watch them leave activity within a year and return to their former lifestyles, friends, and environment. I heard one mission president lament, saying, "How do we stop this hemorrhaging?" Well, the answer to that is found right here in the fourth verse of Moroni 6. All of these new members made new friends. All of them received a calling within the church shortly after they were baptized. Where we fell short was in the third thing that President Hinckley mentioned, and that's that they need to be nourished by the good word of God. I found it interesting that as we traveled on our missions, I would ask members of the church and church leaders if they could remember the three things that President Hinckley said was required in order to retain new members in church activity and to guide the church forward in challenging times. Without exception, everyone that I asked that question could remember two of the three requirements mentioned by President Hinckley. They all could remember that a person needs a friend and needs a responsibility or a calling to serve. Without exception, and I mean not one of the people that I asked over years could remember the third thing, and that was being nourished by God's good word. It's your spirit that is being nourished by God's word. That nourishment can only come when God's word is accompanied by the power of the Holy Ghost. Remember the formula that Moroni gives later on in the 10th chapter. To know the truth is to first of all read the word, second, ponder the word, and third, ask God the Father in the name of Christ concerning the truthfulness of what you've read and pondered. Then there's a formula. If you will ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, then God will reveal to you the truth of this book. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. When you are involved in that process of reading, pondering, asking, seeking, knocking, and receiving an answer from the Father by the power of the Holy Ghost, you have been nourished. Now, every one of those new members have felt this power as they were investigating the church and as they were under the tutoring of the missionaries and other fellowshipping members. But somewhere along the line, after baptism, that begins to diminish until the new convert doesn't feel anymore what they felt at first and walk away. I am happy that the church leadership, under the direction of the president of the church, have implemented concepts and precepts among the membership for them to rely more upon the power of the Holy Ghost and less upon outlines and books of instruction. The Come Follow Me program is a mighty step forward to remember the saints and nourish them by the good word of God. We'll see some other things in this sixth chapter that was practiced by the Nephites that we are growing into but are not quite there yet. Back up to verse 4. Those who are nourished by the good word of God will experience three things. Number one, it will keep them in the right way. There's the answer to converts leaving activity in the church. We need to change and adapt some of our practices so that they can continue to feel in our church meetings, our sacrament meetings, our Sunday school, priesthood, relief society, what they felt when they were being taught by the elders and sisters that witness of the Holy Ghost which brought them into the waters of baptism. Too often the teaching and instruction we hear after baptism is a step down from what we heard and experienced before baptism. Back to verse 4, here's the second thing that will take place if we are remembered and nourished by the Word of God. This Word will keep us continually watchful unto prayer. What does that phrase mean, continually watchful unto prayer? What is it we're watching for and praying to help us in this watching attitude? In Luke chapter 21, speaking of the last days and the signs and events coming up to the coming of the Lord in glory, the Lord said this, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." You see the two words, watch and pray. Why? "That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." So in this verse, your watching and praying is to help you escape. To escape what? Well, you need to read the rest of the chapter, all of Luke 21. It's Luke's account of the warnings that the Lord gives us concerning the events of the latter days that can shake us and catch us unaware. Read that chapter and see what it is that the Lord says you must watch and pray always in order to escape all of these things mentioned in that chapter. In 3 Nephi chapter 18, the Lord said this, beginning in verse 15, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye be led away captive by him." And then in verse 18, "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation, for Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 19, "Therefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name." In D&C 10, verse 5, the Lord says, "Pray always that you may come off conqueror, yea, that you may conquer Satan, and that you may escape the hands of the servants of Satan that do uphold his work." And that's devils, unclean spirits, and demons. They are the servants of Satan. If you do not find yourself in an attitude of formal prayer each day, daily at the minimum, you cannot be considered as following this injunction to pray always. And I believe we're coming into and are in a day where once a day prayer may not be sufficient. We've been told in the scriptures and by prophets of the latter days that we should acquaint ourselves with men like Daniel who pray three times a day. We must not let one day go by now without our being in a state of watchfulness for the enemy's approach and attack. Back to verse 4, for the third item that will take place if we're remembered and nourished by the good word of God, we will rely alone on the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. Why does the word alone in there? Why doesn't it just say, rely upon the merits of Christ? It's because we have a tendency to rely on the arm of flesh and to place our faith, obedience, our devotion, and steadfastness upon mortal men rather than upon the Lord God, the Mighty One of Israel. He is a jealous God, and when we allow anything to step in between us and Him, and in any way take His place in our lives, at that point they are not pleased with this decision. If you come to the table of the Lord to feast upon His Word, and you leave the table after that meal empty and unfulfilled, this nourishment that's spoken of here in verse 4 has not taken place. To teach by the power of the Holy Ghost provides food which nourishes the spirit if we are not teaching by the power of the Holy Ghost, receiving revelation, having the Holy Ghost bring all things to our remembrance, and filling us with light and truth and knowledge and understanding, then those who feast at the table of the Lord will leave famished and will look for food somewhere else. Verse 5, and the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. As we have gone through this past 9 months of the China plague, the one thing I hear most often mentioned by members of the church is how much they miss fellowshipping with each other on that one day of the week, the Sabbath. They're partaking of the sacrament, and they are happy and satisfied with that ordinance in their home. There is fasting and prayer going on within the family, more often now, as moved upon by the Spirit, rather than doing it out of habit on a specific day of the month. But the one thing that has taken its greatest toll upon the membership of the church is to be able to meet together, see your whole face, embrace each other, shake hands with each other, come into close physical proximity with each other, sing the songs of Zion with each other, and partake of the Lord's Supper with each other. All of this goes a long way in providing for each other's welfare, well-being, and happiness. Verse 6, and they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. 7, they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them. And whoso was found to commit iniquity, and three witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders, and if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out, and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But verse 8 goes along with verse 7, but as oft as they repented, and that's those who had been blotted out and not numbered among the membership, as oft as they had repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. Verse 9, I think, is, along with verse 4, the two most important verses in chapter 6. Verse 9, and their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe we could all improve and do better in this area, and that as we do better in this area, following after the manner and workings of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Lord, the light of Christ, that the nourishment mentioned in verse 4 will take place, and that the three promises for being nourished to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful into prayer, and to rely alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of their faith, will automatically take place. Back to verse 9. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whether to preach or to exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. It is my opinion that the answer found all of the challenges which face the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in its mission forward from here are found within the 9 verses of Moroni chapter 6. These instructions were given by Moroni, I believe, because he saw the challenges and difficulties that the church and its memberships would experience in the latter days. Remember, he said, I have seen your doings, the Lord has shown you unto me. I believe that Moroni, through their experience in the Nephite church, had learned those things which work all the time, under all conditions and in all places, and that chapter 6 is a summary of their experience, which he is sharing with us in our day. May we have ears that hear, eyes that see, and hearts that understand. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.